Okay, today we are starting a new book called Book of Romans. Now, Book of Romans is written by Paul and is writing to the believers in Rome. But this church is not founded by Paul. Many people think that disciples who came to Pentecost or when Paul was preaching in Asia Minor, many people got saved and those people went to Rome and that's the way the church was found. Means believer together founded a church, and that's what the history is saying. So the Paul is writing to those believers. Let's go and read a few verses, or we can go verse by verse. Go ahead. Romans chapter 1, we start from verse 1. Go ahead.
Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Make your request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
Okay, now we read the whole chapter. We don't know how much we are going to finish, but we're going to go and start verse by verse. Now here is Paul saying verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. This man was Saul. God changed his heart. And now the same man is saying, God has called me and separated me unto the gospel of God. God has called us before the foundation of the world. What does it mean? God knows you before you came to this world. Amen. We were in the God's heart and God's mind. God has created us according to his image. But here the Paul says, I am a servant of Jesus Christ to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. When you say I'm a servant, actually the word called I'm a slave. Slave of God. And he is not ashamed calling that I'm a slave to Jesus Christ. And he says separated unto the gospel of God. When you say separated, in another word he says sanctified. Separated from the world. You cannot serve the Lord and serve the money the same time. He says you cannot serve two masters. Many people today, they are, you know, having a job part-time and working part-time. That's fine. And some people say, okay, Paul also was doing the same. Paul had the tent ministry and he was doing the tent work. But now here he's saying, I am separated unto the gospel of God. Jesus Christ, when he called his disciples, what did he say? He said, forsake all and follow me. And Peter stood there and said, Lord, we forsook all and we followed you. What we are going to get? Jesus said, you're going to get 100-fold what you gave up plus eternal life, but with persecution. So in this world we will have trials and tribulations, but whatever we give up for the Lord, God will add more to us. You know Barnabas, he gave all the money, sold everything, gave it to the Lord, but he was never disappointed. Why did he do it? Peter and Andrews and James, they give up the fishing business, and the word of God says they were not ordinary fishermen. They had the partners. When you say partners in the company, then may big company. Yes. It's not a small business. But they gave up all and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Paul says the same thing. He's saying, I'm also apostles. I'm also chosen. I'm also separated for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's a very great thing that when God calls you to serve the Lord, it is the best job you can ever have. It's a greater than a president, it's greater than a king, because the serving the Lord is the greatest thing. So he is very happy what he's doing. Verse 2. Now he says, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. What he promised. It sounds like God was promising that I'm going to call Paul. That's what not he is saying. It's that word is connected to the following verse. Let's read the verse 3.
Concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which is made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead.
Now what he is trying to say, which he has promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. What he is trying to say? What the God's prophets were saying concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, he says, that Jesus Christ God sent through the seed of David according to the flesh. That means Jesus Christ came into this world in the David's family, and God promised that God is going to bring him as a seed of David so he can be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Matthew chapter 1 verse 1, if you read, it starts like this: Son of David and son of Abraham. Even the Abraham came first and David came after Abraham, but the word of God says he was called the son of David and son of Abraham. So each and every believer has the Abraham's blessing through Jesus Christ and David's blessing through Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ came in the David's family, and so he became a king. He is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The same way, all the believers and who is serving the Lord, they are promised to reign with Christ in millennium. We will be kings and ruling, and eternity. Also, Jesus Christ says, you will be sitting in my right hand and serving as a kings and priests. So here he's saying, verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Now he says, physically he came as the son of David. He will be sitting on David's throne and be a called king. But in spiritually, the word of God says, he was declared to be son of God. Now you can see all the people who came before Jesus Christ or after Jesus, claiming to be a leaders, claiming to be founders of the religion. But see about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the only one among all the religious founders. Name anyone, Buddha, who started the Buddhist religion, the man is dead and gone. Any other Muslim religious founders, they are dead and gone. Any other religious founders, they are dead and gone. People might be saying, oh no, they might have gone to heaven, or you know, fly to heaven and things like that. But still, they were in the flesh, just like Jesus Christ came in the flesh, but there is no testimony about them. They were risen from dead. Jesus is the only one rise from dead, and he was holy. He says, the Spirit of holiness. That means he lived in this world and did all kinds of signs and wonders and miracles by the Spirit of God. God will not use anyone who lives unholy life. You remember when he healed that blind man, and the Sadducees and Pharisees start saying that Jesus is a sinner. What the blind man said? He said, I never heard a sinner can open the blind eyes. So he's trying to say, sinner cannot open somebody's blind eyes. So in short, hear the word of God say, according to the Spirit of holiness and by the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ was pronounced the Son of God. God himself gives the witness in book of Hebrews When you read the book of Hebrews chapter 1 to 8, he tells you who Jesus Christ is. He says the Son of God is God himself, and God made him God because of the power of resurrection. Jesus Christ, flesh he took like you and me, but he lived a holy life. He's a spirit of holiness, and by the resurrection from the dead, he was pronounced to be Son of God. Not a single founder of any religion was called the Son of God.
Amen.
Jesus is the only one called the Son of God. And why? Because of his holiness and because of his resurrection. Verse 5, Romans chapter 1, verse 5. Go ahead.
By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus.
Now what he's saying here, he's saying Jesus Christ has called me, and this is just the grace of God. And God has given me this apostleship. Why? Because of obedience. When God called him, when he was in Damascus on that journey to going to destroying the children of God, what happened? He fell from the horse. He saw the light. He heard the voice of God. And God told him to go to certain place, and I'm going to send somebody to tell you what to do. He had the chance. As we heard today, he got saved, he got healed, still he didn't want to take baptism. And Ananias said to him, Paul, Saul, why are you tarrying? Why are you wasting your time? Why don't you get up and be baptized and wash away your sins? So what I'm trying to say, Paul would have said, well, now I got my sight, I don't want to be baptism. I don't want this ministry of Jesus Christ. I can go and do whatever I want to do. He could have done it. But he says, no, he was obedient. So when you obey the Lord, he says, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name's sake. So he says, just like you people receive the grace, and I receive my apostleships because of obedience to the faith. What faith? Faith of God. When God has called us to follow the faith life, Christian life is based on faith. If you take the faith out, then our Christianity will be just like ordinary religion. So Paul is saying, by whom we have received grace and apostleships for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. That means we got saved by grace. All the things what we got by grace of God. St. John chapter 1 verse 17, it says, law came by Moses, but the grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So the grace we got by Jesus Christ. If you go to the Ephesians chapter 2, please read. Ephesians chapter 2, start verse of 12 to 17.
That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so make, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were nigh.
So now here the Paul is saying, we were away from God, we were dead in sin, Jesus Christ quickened us, And by grace we are saved, so nobody can boast. There was an enmity between God and man. Why? Because when man listened to the devil, and Satan is called the enemy of God. When you listen to Satan, you became enemy to God.
Amen.
And then what happened when we became enemy to God because of sin? The curse of God came upon us and we were going to go to hell. But because of grace of God, we, through Jesus Christ, we are now joined together with Jesus Christ. He says there was a partition between God and man. And there was a, like a gulf between God and man. Now we are one with Christ. And God and Christ, they are one together. So what happened? Now we are joined together with God. We were enemy to God and we were going to hell. But because of Jesus Christ, now we one with God. So that's why he's saying this is all because of grace. And Romans chapter 1 verse 6 says, among all we are also called of Jesus Christ. He said, now by grace of God, Jesus Christ has called us. And what he has done, he says, you have called us to be saints. That means we were sinners, we were disobedient, we were filthy. Now by the grace of God, we are washed, cleansed, and we are now joined together with God. And not only that, we are not ordinary people. We are the children of God, and the God calls us saints of God. And some other denomination, if you want to be saint, you have to be dead. After you die, you have to have three miracles, and then you will be saint. But here the people in the Rome, Saint Paul is saying that beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what he is trying to say, you were not God's people, but now you are God's people. This has all happened because of Jesus Christ. And peace and grace comes through Jesus Christ. There is no other way we can have peace. In the Middle East or in the world, peace will not come without Jesus Christ. Once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we get peace in our heart, and we can have peace with others because Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 1 and start reading from verse 8.
First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer.
Now, why St. Paul is praying for these people? We can pray for everybody. We can pray for enemies and everybody. But he's saying, first I thank God through Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said, I learned about your faith. Your faith is well known to the whole world. That means people have seen you in Christ. When you talk about faith, with faith you get saved. By faith you can do signs and wonders and miracles. So he's saying, now your faith is went throughout the world. That means many people found out the church of Rome is flourishing, doing some signs and wonders. They are holding on to the Lord and their faith is increasing. So he said, when I heard all of these things, I start thanking God and say, God is my witness. That means I'm not just saying it, but I am the telling the truth because God is my witness. When you say God is my witness, what does it mean? I'm not lying. That's what he's trying to say. And God has given us this ministry. He says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. So see, Paul is very eager to go and visit this church in Rome. He's saying, I heard about you. I heard about your faith. Your faith is progressing. I am praying. And I am making mention in my prayer always. And he's saying, I have a desire to come. In verse 10, he says, I have a desire to come. But how am I to come? I want to come and spend some time at length. When you say at length, means he wants to spend some time. And when you say, I want to come and spend time with you, but I want my journey to be what? Prosperous journey. Now, when you say prosperous journey, that can be many things. Means he wants, when he comes, he wants to be blessed financially, spiritually, and everywhere. When he comes, he wants to bring all the spiritual prosperity, the word of God, the wisdom of God, the power of God, the truth of God, everything what he has. He said, I want to bring it with me, so I'm not coming with what? Empty-handed. I want to come to make you prosperous. That's my desire to come to you. Many people go and visit somebody to rob them or, you know, make them miserable. And sometimes they say, when this person will go now. But St. Paul is saying, I want to come and I want to spend some time with you. And my journey should be prosperous. Verse 11.
For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established.
See, he says, I long to see you, means I have a burning desire in my heart. When I'm going to see you? Now see this man, he did not establish this church. But the believers got there together and they wanted Pastor Paul to come and visit them. So he said, I have a burning desire in my heart, so I should come. Now why he's coming, he says, I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. So what he's trying to say, I have God-given spiritual gift in me. The wisdom of God, the word of God, the knowledge of God, the spirit of God, and whatever he has. He said, I want to come and give it to you. So you could be established, learn something, get stronger in the Lord, and grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. That was his desire. So he said, that's why I'm coming. And when I'm coming, I want you to learn from me and grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. Means you should be established. When you say established, any company established or a church established or something established means it's unmovable. Now it's settled. It's growing and it's strong. So he said, I do not want you to be weak believer. I want you to be strong believer. Settle in the word of God. Unmovable. And that's what the believer should be. Okay, let's read verse 12.
That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles.
Okay, now he says, I'm coming to you. What is my purpose? First of all, he says, I want to come and give you what I have, and I want to establish you strong in the Lord. At the same time, he says, I want to come and comfort you. Now, when you say somebody comes to comfort you, that means you are in trouble. You have some kind of problems. And somebody comes and tells you, listen, brother or sister, I have gone through this way. I had this kind of problems, and you come and comfort them. Let's read the 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and start reading from verse 2.
Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation.
So what does St. Paul is saying? I am coming to comfort you. Now you know the Paul's life. He was beaten several times. He was hungry and thirsty and naked and wounded. And so many problems came to him, but he never said anywhere in the Word of God, why me, Lord? Why this happened to me? This morning we heard that Jesus said to Ananias, this is my chosen vessel, and I am going to show him how much he is going to suffer for my sake. So the Paul knew his calling, and he was so excited to go through all kinds of trials and tribulations. So he knew that I'm going to comfort somebody. So he said, I'm coming there to comfort you people, and I want you to be strong in the Lord. And that's what he wants to show them. Let's read the verse 13 one more time. He said, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you. So he wanted to come so many times, but hindrance came. Now sometimes somebody say, I'm coming, and you didn't come, and they say, I'm coming, and you didn't come. The people get angry and mad. So he's saying, don't be mad at me. There was a situation came, I could not come. But I have made up my mind, and I'm coming, and coming what? I have some fruit among you also. So he said, I'm coming. You cannot have fruit without sowing the seed. So he said, I'm coming. I'm going to sow some seed, and I want to see some fruits among you. God gives seed to the sower. God did not ask anything without he giving you first. So once he gives the seed, then you can sow the seed, then you can have the fruits. So he said, I'm coming, and I want to see some fruits among you. Now some people say, why is coming? What fruit we are going to give? But he did not come with the empty handed. Paul said, I have something to give it to you, right? So when he gives to them, and then he wants to see the fruits. Jesus Christ says, if you abide in me, then you will bring fruits. So he wants to say, when I'm coming, you better listen to me. You better understand why I came. And whatever the spiritual gift I have, I'm going to give it to you. And then you are going to bring the same fruits. So that's the kind of desire I have, and I'm coming. I'm not coming without hope, because I want you to be fruitful. That's what the pastor's desire should be. Believers can come and sit there and go, and they are not doing anything. The pastor is not going to be happy. People sometimes say, okay, as long as I get the money, I don't care what they do. That's not the real pastor's desire. Real pastor's desire is every believer has to be minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Somebody said to me, if everybody became a minister, then you will not have a member. I said, that's not so. When I'm making other people ministers, and they're going and bringing more souls, and some people will keep on coming. There is no shortage of people when people go and tell somebody. So the Paul said, I'm coming. I'm giving everything what I have. And I'm waiting to have fruits among you. Verse 14.
I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise.
Okay, now he says, I'm a debtor. That means he says, I have obligation to serve you, just like you paid me something, and I'm in debt now. So how it happened? We read today, when Jesus Christ appeared to him, let's go to the book of Acts chapter 26 and start reading from verse 16 to 18.
Arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me.
Read the Acts chapter 9, verse 15.
But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel.
Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. That's what he's saying. God has called me for Gentiles and for Jewish people, so I am having some kind of debt. And I'm coming to you because God has called me so. But he says, I'm coming to Gentiles. Why? Because God has called me. And I'm coming there to give the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 15, Romans 1, 15.
So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also.
So, as much as in me is. What does that mean? He's saying, whatever God has given to me, that means is in me. Whatever God has given to me. Now, some people, they want to teach somebody, they want to teach everything what they know. He say, if I tell everybody what I know, then nobody will want me. Just think of somebody, a medical doctor, and he got some research he's doing. He's not going to give this research program to another doctor. Or somebody invented something, he's not going to tell somebody to right away. Or somebody is selling the products. You see, they will say, these products you can get nowhere in the market but just by us. Why? Because they don't want any other people to getting rich. But St. Paul is not selfish like that. He says, whatever is in me right now. Let's read that one more time. As much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. So what he's trying to say, whatever I have in me right now, I'm going to pour out. That's what it is. So it's a heart of the man of God. He's not keeping anything back. He said, everything what I have in me, right now, I want to give it to you. And if God gives me some more, that I'll give. But whatever I have right now, I give. Just like somebody asked, hey, how much money you have? $10. Could you give it to me? Yes, I have $10 now, I gave it to you. If I have it more, I would give it more. But that's what he's saying. Whatever I have it now, right now, in me, I want to give it to you. Let's read verse 16.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth.
Now, what he's trying to say, because I have the salvation, I have the power of God. Why? Because I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What he's trying to say, if anyone preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, what they have? They have the power of God. And when you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have everything what God has. The Word of God says God sent His Son to die on the cross of Calvary. For what? So we can get eternal life. So what God has, we can have in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ became our what? Elder brother. Okay? Now as he say, whatever Jesus has, we have. And so we have everything what God has. So he is trying to say, if I am a child of God and I receive the salvation, this is not for me. I want to give it to everybody. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. That means if I preach more, I get more power. If you don't preach, you don't get message. Amen. So you keep on preaching, you keep on getting revelation. You keep on getting power of God. You keep on getting wisdom of God. One man came to me, he said, Pastor Peter, I don't get message. I said, do you read the Bible? You read the Bible, you get the message. Each time you read, God will inspire you to do something. You write it down. And someday when you're preaching, all those things, even though you did not memorize, it will come to your memory. Amen. Because this is the work of God. He says, this is the power of God unto salvation to every man or everyone that believeth, Jew first and Gentiles, means Greeks is Gentiles. Now somebody say, why Jew first? Because the Jesus was Jew and his disciples were Jew. So he says, when you're preaching the gospel, preach the gospel first to Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then uttermost part of the world. So the gospel came from Jews. And so that's what he's saying. That doesn't mean if you are born again, you have to go and preach the gospel to Jew first. It's not like that. Gospel came to Jews first, but it is also for Gentiles. So we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then verse 17, he says, Romans chapter 1, verse 17. There is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. When you say, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Where is it? It says, when if you are a righteous man, then there is a faith of God. And how we became righteous? We became righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. Our righteousness is filthy rags in the sight of God. But we got the righteousness from Jesus Christ. And he says, God revealed from faith to faith. That means the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. What faith? With our faith, what God has given us, the measure of faith, we believe Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Once you do that, then what happens? Book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2, he says, looking unto Jesus, who is what? Author and finisher of our faith. So our Christian life depends on the faith of God. When Jesus Christ said to his disciples, have faith in God. If you don't have faith in God, we cannot live in this world. Because as I said earlier, Christian life is depend on faith. If you take the faith out, we will be miserable people. So we live by faith. So here is saying, it is written, the just shall live by faith. When he say it is written, he's talking about the Old Testament. Let's go back, book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4. When he says, it is written, and now when you read in book of Habakkuk, it's a little bit different. Then we'll come back here and compare another verse in book of Hebrews. Go ahead.
Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith.
Now, what he's trying to say, look at one man. The man who is proud, man who doesn't believe in God, and man he's thinking that I'm okay. He says that man will have nothing, will have problems. But the man who believes means the just shall live by faith. And it just means righteous. If you are a man of God, you will live by faith.
Amen.
That's what he's trying to say. So when we need faith of God to survive, St. Paul takes the same verse, but let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 38 on. Paul is bringing this same scripture to not give up the hope. People, they started a Christian life and they get tired. They said, I don't know when Jesus Christ is coming. I cannot pull on, I cannot hold on to this Christianity. To those people, what St. Paul is saying. Let's start Hebrews chapter 10, instead of 38, we come back. Start reading from 35 to 39.
Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
Now the 38 verse we read, the just shall live by faith. Why he said? He said we started a journey. Now it's not time to go back. Whatever the trials and tribulations, problems are coming, Hold on to Jesus Christ. Hold on that faith God has given to us, because we are going to make our journey by faith. Christian life is the journey by faith. Without faith, we will vanish. Unbelievers will not make it to heaven. So if you don't believe in God, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, all those unbelievers will spend their life in eternity in hell. That's why the faith is very important. And the word of God says, just shall live by faith. That means if you are the righteous man of God, and if you just have faith in God, anything looks like a mountain to you, hold on to the faith, God will come through. If you don't have faith, our life will be miserable. That's what he says, just shall live by faith. I'm going to stop here.